You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus on 850 ESPN Cleveland. I'm Jason Gibbs. Happy Monday, Thursday on this holy week. Good Friday tomorrow. Easter coming up on Sunday. It is getaway day yesterday for the bulk of the crew. Bishop living his best life in Hawaii, posting pictures of beer cans on a golf course, and Bootsy in the background losing his mind because... well, maybe Dad got a little too animated and amped up for the matchup with the other two Hellions. Looks like they're living their best life. Always a positive. We're 60 seconds in, Griff. I'm coughing up a lung. Talk. Say something.
Hey, guys.
Okay,
how are
you? Great. Kevin, great. Good.
Yeah,
come on, Griff.
I'll step fill in, the empty buddy. Space if you need me to.
Oh, my God. Where the hell did that come from? All right. Hey, we're with you. I'm coughing up a lung. It's great. Coming up on the show today, it's some sound from over the last few weeks that we have not necessarily gotten to because of everything going on with free agency and some of the new hires and whatnot. Exclusively today, you will hear General Manager Andrew Berry's State of the Team press conference post-first round of free agency and a look ahead to the NFL draft. That'll be all of hour one. You will hear two parts of that and a very frank conversation with our Cleveland media from the NFL owners' meetings in Florida. In hour two, an exclusive one-on-one interview, the only one he's done in this building, Jerry Jeudy, the new wide receiver for your Cleveland Browns, sitting down with our Kelsey Russo. Also in the 2 o'clock hour, you will hear from new Browns QB2 Jameis Winston and new Browns linebacker Jordan Hicks, just to name a few things going on today with the show. Bishop on vacation in Hawaii, as I said before, I coughed up a lung. Zagura is out for the rest of the week. He may or may not join, but I doubt he'll join. Uno was supposed to be back, but he had flight issues coming back from his little vacation. And frankly, I don't think he went to bed before the sun came up. So I told him to stay home. Griff is handling things on the other side of the glass. Kevin Arnold is spinning the dials. Gentlemen, happy baseball opening day. Guardians tonight. I believe is it a 10:07 start tonight?
Yes, it is. Yep. After 10 o'clock.
So I'm going to throw this out there. I get that it's on the West Coast. I know the Guardians are opening up on the West Coast. I feel like a lot of it has to do with maybe some of the renovations not being totally done yet over at Progressive Field. And I also get, you know, opening up on the West Coast where it's a little bit warmer than it is here, although it is a pretty nice looking day outside today. It is definitely still pretty cold. Why does Oakland have to wait till 7 o'clock at night to do their season opener? Every team, when they're on the East Coast, does their season opener at like noon, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. No one does it at night. Why is Oakland waiting till 7 p.m. their time to do this? Like, why can't Oakland, why can't the season be opening right now? Or, well, no, you can't do it right now. I'm sorry. I take that back. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Do it at 4 o'clock.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Do it at 4 o'clock so it's 1 o'clock. Or it's 7 o'clock and it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they do it at 4 o'clock their time, 7 o'clock here. That way we get a traditional start time here in our area and we can actually all still watch it. Because everybody wants to watch their team on opening day, whether they're on the road or at home. We want to be able to watch our teams and not be in bed by the time that they start.
I mean, this is stupidity at its finest. And Griff, I know you're a big baseball guy. Help me understand why the A's can't open, you know, why we can't play a game while it's still daylight out here. Because there's no way I'm making it. I might watch the first couple innings, and then I'm cashed out tonight. I leave tomorrow. I got vacation starting tomorrow. I need some rest. Might be the last time I get rest for like 5 days. Might be hitting the bottle hard. I'm kidding. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Griff, help me explain why is this happening, baseball guy. You're not on.
How about now?
Good job, Griff.
Alrighty.
Baby
awesome.
Steps.
Figured it out.
Baby steps.
Honestly, I have no idea. I mean, I feel like they've been doing this for years. Opening day. It's opening day. It's not opening night, first of all. So a 10 p.m. start is so late. There's no way I'm going to be able to stay up and watch the entire thing, but I feel like everyone else in Major League Baseball should be starting around the 3 to 4 p.m. start because that's a great time for everyone to tune in. Plus, it's not too late or too early for either side of the coast of the U.S. So I have no idea why they're starting at 10 p.m. So good luck to anyone that's trying to watch the entirety of
when do your Rangers start?
I believe they start at 6 or 7 here. I don't know. My time schedule is very off right now, so I could be wrong about that.
7:35.
Yes.
Okay. We both need to come up, Kevin says. Pot us both up.
How is that?
There you go.
Awesome.
There we go. Nothing like live producing behind the scenes on the air.
That works.
Exactly. Rangers-Cubs, 7:35 tonight. They hang the banner, don't they? Didn't you guys win it last year?
Yeah, they'll be hanging the banner.
You're a big Ranger fan.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends that's actually going to opening day, and they're going to be in the parking lot around 2 o'clock that time, and then they're going to open the gates around, I believe they said 3:30 or 4 o'clock. So gates are opening about two and a half hours before the game even starts for that banner ceremony.
Well, enjoy that. I know you'll watch that tonight. And you'll still be a solid 3 hours away from Guardians opening day.
Yeah, that's rough.
Just brutal. I don't understand. How about a little help for the East Coast? Since we always have to conform to what the West Coast wants from a timing standpoint. Drives me crazy. Bulk of the people live on the East Coast. Bo Bishop had that stat. It's ridiculous. Why am I conforming to what the West Coast is doing? The NCAA basketball tournament resumes tonight, Sweet 16. Speaking of late games, I just saw this, and now I might have to stay up. The Fighting Illini, my Fighting Illini, Iowa State, 10:09 tonight. There's no way that starts at 10:09.
No.
I guarantee that gets pushed to 10:35, 10:40.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stay up and watch that. I need the Illini to keep going on.
You do. You're fourth in the bracket, buddy.
I'm fourth?
I think you're fourth.
No, I believe I'm third still.
Oh, that's right. You're ahead of AB.
Yes, I did surpass AB.
Someone should have asked AB that this week at the owners' meetings.
Yeah.
The intern's beating you. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, but currently I'm in third place. The two people that are in front of me, unfortunately, they both have North Carolina. I need North Carolina to keep going on because I do have them in my Final Four, but as soon as I Final
After that.
Four, yeah. None of that. As soon as the Final Four hits, I need them to get knocked out by, I believe it's Tennessee.
So the East region is number one UConn and San Diego State at 7:40. And then it's Iowa State and Illinois at 10:09. The West region starts at 7:09 as well. It'll be Clemson, Arizona. Zagur will be watching. And then the late game is North Carolina, Alabama. I would encourage you, if you've not seen Alabama play, they play no defense. They do not care to play defense. They have no interest in defending. They are simply there to outscore you, and they're pretty darn good at it. So that should be an interesting little matchup tonight. North Carolina, Alabama might actually have to defend a little bit because Carolina can put some points up, and it pains me to say that because I hate North Carolina. The Dukies don't play till tomorrow. By the way, am I going to be on a plane tomorrow night? Oh, there's a chance we'll be on the ground by then. Sweet. They're the late game against Houston. So it's Illinois, Iowa State, UConn, San Diego State, Arizona, Clemson could be okay. I feel like I don't know what to expect from Clemson. They've overachieved and screwed up my portion of the bracket. And then Alabama and North Carolina. Griff, you just put down we're 15 days away from the opening round of the 88th Masters at the Augusta National Golf Club. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, we are. I believe it's the first major of the season as well, correct?
It is.
Yes.
It's that means we're less than 2 weeks away from the opening of my golf league, the Hooligans.
There we go.
A lot of discussion on the golf league and the rules this year. Back and forth last night. There were web polls going up, all kinds of craziness. But the league starts in 2 weeks, and that's all I care about. We'll figure out the rest as we go. But that means Golf League Wednesday night, Thursday, Masters. Now we're cooking with a little gas. All I need now is for the wife to have some other obligations for the weekend where she's got stuff going on and I don't. That's really my goal in life. That's it.
Sounds like a pretty great week.
You're darn right it is. And with that, that's today's Hot Topics. That's it. Simple. Effective. It's a pretty quiet day around the National Football League. Still waiting to find out if we're going to go to Brazil, not go to Brazil. Waiting to find out from the National Football League if that's going to come out this week or not. Owners' meetings are over, so I don't have no idea if that's actually going to happen or not. But we wait. That's the one bit of news I think we're waiting on. So those are the hot topics of the day presented by Vivid Seats, an official fan experience partner of your Cleveland Browns. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Exclusive audio from GM Andrew Berry, his state of the team address post first round of free agency from the NFL owner meetings in Florida. You're not going to want to miss it. They break down every part of this football team for the rest of our number one. Part one comes your way next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, presented by Ballybet, live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus here in Berea, Ohio. I'm Jason Gibbs on this holiday week. Zagura on assignment, Bishop on vacation, Uno sleeping because he got stranded last night and didn't get home till like the sun came up. It's Griff, it's me, it's the great Kevin Arnold back at 850 ESPN Cleveland spinning the dials. A little specialty show today. Coming up, you will hear from our new QB, Jameis Winston, QB2. You will hear from Jerry Jeudy, an exclusive one-on-one interview, the only one-on-one that he has done in the city with Kelsey Russo, our resident staff writer. And then you'll also hear from Jordan Hicks, our new linebacker, coming up in hour two. In hour one, though, taking the focus and putting it on the general manager of your Cleveland Browns, Andrew Berry. He's had a good couple weeks and got to talk about it with the Cleveland media down at the NFL owners' meetings in Florida, addressing a number of different topics, including new free agent additions, the current roster, Mike Vrabel, and a couple other things as well. Here's part one from this press conference. Enjoy.
Well, a lot of your free agency was centered around bringing guys back. Why was that so important in your mind to kind of re-sign guys more than maybe go pursue outside free agency?
Yeah, it really is a combination of both, Chris. Like, I think once your roster becomes more mature and you have an established core, that will the balance will lean more towards retention than maybe external signings. Whether it's early extensions for guys or veterans that may hit the market initially and bring them back. But that's not to say that we didn't explore external additions or make a handful of external additions. That's just kind of how it worked out this offseason with you know, the values that we put on a number of players across the league. We also felt like we had a pretty high baseline. Like, we were really pleased with the team last year, particularly the defensive side of the ball. You know, so I think going into it, there was always going to be a little bit more of a retention lean than addition lean. But I can't say that, you know, it was so purposeful that was the only thing that we were focused on.
Cade York?
Yeah. So Cade, you know, I think that everyone in this room knows how talented we think Cade is. And obviously, you know, he went through a tough stretch, you know, last year with us in camp. But you see this a lot with, like, the history of kickers. Maybe, like, a guy like Evan McPherson or, you know, Justin Tucker when he first entered the league. They're kind of more the exceptions than the rules. But you can look at Willie Gay. You can look at, you know, Steve Carlson. Thank you very much. And, yeah, you know, Hauschka back in the day where – a lot like rookie players, there is a little bit of like up and down before they find their stability. And we've always believed in having a developmental kicker on the roster. And, you know, Cade, we think, is as good as they come in that regard. And looking forward to working with him. And, yeah.
And just also
– Daniel Carlson. Sorry, Daniel. Lost. There we go.
You remember Stephen Carlson.
I was going to say, yeah. I was like, man, why is that name on my mind?
In the case of both – Cade and Jerry Jeudy, yeah, who you really liked coming out of the draft, but had to pick a tackle that year. How long do you trust your own convictions on the evaluation of a player? You know, Judy's now entering his fifth year, but you still believe he's an elite player from what you've judged him originally.
Yeah, so I think, so probably two separate cases. One, so with Jeudy, the college evaluation, like, that's not really relevant in terms of the decision or the trade we made for Jerry. For Cade, because he only has really 1 year in the league, and he has the physical characteristics that a lot of the top kickers have in the NFL, and then honestly just the typical career trajectory of kickers in the NFL, where they do usually have an uneven, you know, first two seasons. And the fact that we were going to add a developmental kicker, right? Like, we're really happy with Dustin. Obviously, Dustin's our kicker this year, barring any type of, you know, catastrophic injury or something along those lines. But we felt like Cade was one of, if not the best options to work with in that developmental spot. And with Jerry, it really is more about the pro history at this point. You know, we feel like we have an individual who's an elite separator, can play inside and outside, you know, produce in less than ideal, you know, circumstances and usage for various reasons in Denver. And we feel like he complements our group really nicely.
What's the mindset, I guess, doing the extension with Jerry early, like so quickly, I guess, after the signing?
So, like, you know, one of the things that you know, we feel like is a competitive advantage for us has been our contract management philosophy. And we're firm believers that in that space, the best front offices or the best teams are proactive as opposed to reactionary in market dynamics. I think that, you know, if you look at our history, you know, whether it's, you know, when we did Miles or when we traded for Coop's contract, you know, ahead of the shift of the receiver market, or David, because of usage issues, it's something that probably, like, realistically, probably us in Philly, we do a lot of. In Jerry's case, you know, you already saw two new receiver contracts enter the market that really are harbingers of things to come in that market. I mean, probably by week one of the NFL season, the top of that market's going to be north of $30 million. And so as we think of the contract management space, rather than be reactive to new market dynamics, we try and be proactive. And probably more importantly is when we think about an extension or a signing, we think about, okay, well, where is the market actually going to be on September 1, as opposed to maybe in a relevant market on March 1, so to speak.
Were you surprised that Tyler Huntley was available?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we looked at that as a really fantastic opportunity for, you know, for our organization. I know, and I'll let Tyler speak on it whenever you guys talk to him next, but, you know, I know that a couple things, you know, maybe went a little bit of a different direction. So he kind of maybe got caught standing in a game of musical chairs unexpectedly, but we felt like that was a great opportunity for us. You know, quarterback's the most important position. We wouldn't stop acquiring offensive defensive linemen. We wouldn't do the same thing at quarterback.
How about Deshaun? Can you just give us from your vantage point how he's doing, where he's at his rehab, and how things are going?
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job. He's been working his tail off. You know, obviously he, you know, he started throwing recently. He's in a really good spot. We're excited when he gets back here in the spring. And, you know, we'll take it day by day, week by week, but, you know, we're very optimistic on his progress.
Is Huntley and DTR, is there any concern about DTR's health or his rookie year?
Definitely not his rookie year. We're always want to be, you know, cautious and mindful of our guys coming back from, you know, injury concerns, you know. But I'd say, like, Tyler's addition is even independent of that, Tony. We've always had four quarterbacks. You know, we obviously have two quarterbacks that are coming off of season-ending injuries. And then Tyler was just us being flexible, adaptable to an opportunity that quite honestly, we didn't expect at that point in the spring.
In terms of Jameis, did you have to give much or any thought, or how much thought did you give to the character piece of it, given that you have Deshaun on your roster?
Yeah, I think for any player that we acquire, we're very diligent in terms of, like, the background work that we do. Zero concerns about Jameis, bringing him into the organization. Awesome teammate, awesome person. He's a consummate pro. We have a really good locker room, Mary Kay, and feel really good about him, feel really good about our quarterback room, zero concerns, yeah.
Do you feel Quentin Jefferson brings something that you didn't have at the tackle position last year?
I think Quinn brings us more. We're always looking for pass rushers, Tony, and Quinn continues to, you know, bring us pass rush from the inside. We're always going to roll deep on the offense and defensive line, but particularly with how much we waive our defensive linemen, and just in this scheme, pass rush being a premium for those guys, we'll always look to add guys that can bring that skill set.
What I mean is, you didn't seem to have that guy last year next to Delvin.
Oh, I got you.
On those Hurst.
Yeah, like I mean, we were pretty, like, part of it is we're fortunate that we have two of our three top edge guys can also rush inside. So I think the way that you can construct a defensive line when you have that versatility is provides a lot of flexibility. So look, we'll get as many pass rushers come in all shapes and sizes, but the fact that Z and Miles can rush inside, that's maybe less of an emphasis for us there, that's an absolute need.
It feels like a long way from 85 in the third round to the middle of the fifth. Uh-huh. Do you feel that way, like potentially you could be moving around when draft night comes?
You guys probably know me well enough that we could always be moving around. I'd say it's probably less so because of the gap in picks, because we think about it less in terms of, let's say, the aggregate number of picks between our selections, and more about, let's say, the ranges of the draft where you're getting similar talent, or historically where you get similar talent. I think I've mentioned this before, like, once you get to that point in the draft, the likelihood that you're getting a starter or a role player, it flattens pretty significantly, and probably a lot earlier than people, people maybe externally realize. So that's not really, to be honest, that's not really like a huge consideration for me.
Andrew Henry, you've had success over your career, kind of sounding like Mo Hurst last year, who injuries were a big concern. you take a, you know, you're taking a swing on Devin Bush this year. What is the value you find in kind of making those swings? Obviously, it's low risk, high reward, but what goes into when you're evaluating those specific types of cases where injuries have really been a major issue in their development?
So each case is, or I'd say each player is on a case-by-case basis. It depends on, like, maybe the need or the skill set that we're trying to acquire at that point in time. And it also depends on, like, acquisition costs, just quite honestly, and really what the risk reward is for signing or trading for a particular player. I think, largely speaking, you can't operate a sports team with being risk averse. You just can't. Like, because any team's goal, it's like, all right, if you were a business in the S&P, it's not to, like, you know, be in line with the return of the S&P. You're trying to be the top name in the S&P. You're trying to win the Super Bowl. And that doesn't come without taking risks, you know, big and small. But for those where you see it all the time, like J.C. Treader is a perfect example. He was a guy who was, like, injury prone for the first however many years of his career. We sign him. He didn't miss a single game while he was with us. Some guys, their bodies mature. They run out of bad luck. Joel Bitonio, two of his first three years, he had ended the year on IR. Sashi at the time extended him, and he had been an Ironman really for the past, what, 6-7 years. So each situation is really on a case-by-case basis.
Now that they've been able to digest the Houston game and Schwartz too, what are your theories on what happened? I mean, it's more than just a bad day.
We just didn't play well. Just period. We didn't play well. That's a good offense. Simple as that. Like, I think a lot of times people want to take a singular game and make it something bigger than it actually is. But they have a really good quarterback, real good passing game, really good OC. We laid a lot of, you know, mental, uncharacteristic mistakes. Unfortunately, it happened. You have bad days at the office.
And the larger season outlook on playing on the road. You guys studied that? Come up with any theories as to what happened?
Yeah, I remember, like, last year it was something like first quarter scoring relative to fourth quarter scoring. I mean, every year you have some of these, like, trends that, honestly, they probably fall out as you, like, zoom out a little bit or as you go through time. We feel really good about the defense, really feel good about the defensive philosophy. So we're not going to get caught up so much in the weeds, but things that are maybe more, you know, macro trends throughout the season.
What is the messaging coming from Dr. Neil Elitrosh about Deshaun's shoulder injury? And you guys seem really confident that he's going to be totally fine, and yet I can't seem to find another quarterback that has had an injury like this for a comp. So what is the messaging on that?
Yeah, I won't speak for, you know, Neil specifically, but again, all the medical work that's been done at this point in time, Deshaun's recovery so far, it's been really positive. We're not anticipating any issues.
And is that in part because it's a bone, and a bone can heal and become just as strong as it is? It's not like he's got pins and screws and ligaments or whatever.
I think that's probably part of it, Mary Kay, but honestly, it's probably past my expertise, honestly.
Is Vrabel involved in personnel in this
role? Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
In what way?
I won't go into the specifics, but I think any person who sat in, like, a head coach's seat, like, they just have, like, a broader perspective than, no different than, like, if you go from being a scout to a general manager, you just have a broader perspective in terms of team building and some of the challenges that come into place. There are a lot of good relationships with Mike in our building between, you know, Kevin, myself, Jim. We love having him around, and we're using him in a variety of areas that we think that he can help with. But we're happy to have him aboard.
How long did it take for that to sort of go from infant stages of those conversations to, you know, deciding, yeah, this will happen?
So it actually came together pretty quickly. Like when Kevin and I talked about it initially, we were like, I wonder if he – really the open question was, okay, this is probably the first time in his life that he's had a chance to, like, step away and kind of relax away from football. Like, would he be even interested in, like, coming aboard and helping? And we learned very quickly that he was interested, and if he wasn't interested, his wife was probably going to make him, like, be interested, that type of thing. So from there, it actually came together pretty quickly. And I think, you know, the other element is, like, if you're a GM or a head coach, you don't usually have the opportunity to use another general manager or head coach as a sounding board within your league. Like, you may have, like, friends in the NBA or hockey or baseball that you can do it. And, like, with Mike, because we'd had such a good, you know, relationship with him for, like, a number of years, he really was the perfect fit for our group.
You've seen college now, a lot of – Saban was famous for hiring, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. hiring
yep.
these – the House of Wayward coaches, yes. you know. Do you see that much – In the NFL, like, I mean, because this seems like a scenario similar to that.
Right? Yeah, so that's something that we've very much tried to do with coaches and front office personnel. Philly does it a lot. Like, you know, when I was there, like, Howie's always, you know, employed that strategy, and it's certainly something that we would mimic.
So will you carve out a little broom closet for him or something like that? And would you like to have him around? Do you need an office, or how do you want this to go?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a good working space when he's been in. I think for us, quite honestly, our assumption is that he's going to be well back into the head coaching cycle next year, just being realistic. So, you know, we're hopeful to, you know, use him as a resource and have a little fun with Mike along the way for the next year, and then we'll see how it goes from there.
That is part one from our general manager, Andrew Berry's meeting with the media. Part two comes your way after this quick timeout. But before that, ever thought about hitting a golf ball inside Cleveland Browns Stadium? Here is your chance with Upper Deck Golf. Play an epic round of golf inside Cleveland Browns Stadium June 21st and 22nd. Enjoy a unique VIP golfing experience while hitting tee shots from the upper deck throughout the stadium down to custom greens on the field below. For more info, go to upperdeckgolfing.com. Book your tee time now. They are going fast. That is upperdeckgolfing.com. I'm Jason Gibbs, and you are listening to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
When a medical mistake causes you injury, call the medical malpractice attorneys at 1-800-ELK-OHIO, Elk and Elk, proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. Jason Gibbs with you, special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on this getaway holiday week. Bo Bishop on assignment, Zagur on assignment, Uno on assignment. I think Uno's back tomorrow. Some great audio that we haven't gotten to over the last few weeks that we're able to play for you today and tomorrow as well. You'll hear from Jameis Winston in hour two, Jordan Hicks in hour two, an exclusive one-on-one interview with Jerry Jeudy and our own Kelsey Russo coming up in hour two as well. Right now it is part two of our general manager, Andrew Berry's State of the Browns address from the NFL's owner meetings in Florida with the media. Have a listen.
Greg Newsome, can you shed any light on your plans on May 2nd for him?
I will.
What's coming up in trading rumors too?
Yeah, I can't help what players come up in trading rumors. We have that every year, but we're pleased with Greg. You know, anticipate him continue to playing a big role for us.
What about Brandon Phillips? Who am I thinking of? The linebacker.
Oh, Jacob?
I always call him.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jacob's still a free agent.
So you got anything left?
Yeah, so like he's actually, it's funny, I actually talked to him on the phone the other day. He's like fully healthy in Florida, training hard as he always does. Yeah, I know he's, without speaking for him, I know he's exploring a number of different opportunities. We feel good about where our linebacker room is headed, but I think hopefully Jacob can stay healthy and he'll obviously continue to resume his career. Whether it's here, that's probably unlikely.
DeJuan, could he play left tackle now or down the road? Is that something you guys have talked about?
I think I said this in 2020 where, like, tackles are tackles. I think the distinction between left tackle and right tackle is obsolete. We're in a division where T.J. Watt plays on the offensive right, the entire game. It's not really a lot that we've talked about. We're pleased with DeJuan in terms of where he is. But like I said, I think the distinction of left and right tackle is obsolete.
Considering Judy is idolized Cooper, followed him for so long, does that make Cooper more valuable and more apt to extend?
I wouldn't say any personal affinity would really impact our valuation or an extension decision for really any player. Look, Coop's a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. He's played really well for us the past 2 years. He's a strong presence in the locker room. We love him. So players like that, you want to make sure that you can retain as long as possible. And, we'll work through all of that at the appropriate times.
Andrew, when we talked to Jimmy yesterday, he said that he was close to sending both you and Kevin to extensions. Mm-hmm. My question is, how much does that mean to you, and Kevin have worked so well together, and to know that you're going to have the opportunity to carry this forward?
Yeah, so I you guys know me well enough that I don't really talk about contracts. And
you're
going
to make an exception.
Yeah, no, even for my own, I'd say this. I feel very blessed that, to have Kevin as a partner. And I think you guys all know how highly I think of him, both professionally and probably even more importantly as a person. It's fun to go to work with him every day. It really is. And I think as much as he's accomplished in his first 4 years, there's a lot more runway in call it the next 10. So I'm really excited to see where the team heads under his stewardship. And then I would say to Jimmy and Dee, they've been fantastic. I don't think that they get enough credit for, their ownership of the Browns. They're incredibly supportive. They're great with resources. They push where appropriate. But I think the thing that often goes overlooked or not said enough is, as much as they push their people, they really care about them as people. Like, we're not just commodities, so to speak. And that's something that means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to Kevin, and we're fortunate to have good ownership here.
We know you well enough to know you're not going to answer this one. You were the youngest GM ever when you got hired. Mm-hmm. You're still one of the younger ones. I know you're worried about next month or even next week, but has the thought ever crossed your mind that you could do this for a long, long time?
Great question. Probably depends on the week and the year. If I'm being totally honest, but I, there are only 32 of these jobs, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to do it in a really good place with really good people. It comes with extraordinary challenges, but I always tell my family, I visit my parents in Atlanta after this, and the way I look at this job is it's an incredible life experience. And that's with the good stuff and the bad stuff. And it's pretty cool because you learn a number of new skills seemingly every year. I even think about it sitting with you guys today versus, and I guess really only Mary Kay and Tony were the first time I did this when I was 28 in Berea, and how much I dreaded, that was the thing I dreaded the most about the job, talking to you all and thinking about, at this point, 24, 8 years later, just even thinking about like the growth in something as small as that, let alone the other skills that you develop that are outside of football, just kind of like managing an organization or, you know, managing people. And so from that aspect, like, I love the subject matter. I love the people that I work with. I love the, you know, how much I learn on a yearly basis. I feel like every year I go, it makes me realize just how little I know. And that's pretty cool. Something that kind of stretches you and forces you to grow.
Now, the Nick Chubb question. Do you need to adjust this contract?
Yeah, I won't talk about that for all the obvious reasons. Maybe the easiest thing is, like, we fully expect Nick to be here. Like, and he's doing a great job with his recovery and everything. And you know, I meant what I said at the end of the season. I meant what I said at the combine. We do not want the injury in Pittsburgh to be his last snap as a Cleveland Brown.
What did the last year, you talked about your relationship with Kevin, mm-hmm. what did going through what you guys all went through last year, you know, while you were winning, you were also dealing with a million different, you know, things that will crop up. What did that do to solidify that relationship? You know, what did you guys learn through that about each other? Maybe you didn't.
I'll be honest, Chris, we went through a lot tougher stuff before last year. Like last year, I mean, COVID, obviously trading for Deshaun, like the Odell situation. I mean, this last year it was like, okay, it's just injuries. Like that's like you know. So that last year really wasn't like last year was challenging, but it paled in comparison to the first three, if I'm being honest. So, but to answer your question, so one thing my dad always said, like ever since I was in high school, he was a general manager for a TV station in Baltimore for 10 years. And he would always tell us as kids, he was like, build relationships in non-crisis times. And I talk about like that personal element with Kevin where like you just enjoy being around each other. I tell you how, like, I know you guys don't always see it, but he has like a fantastic sense of humor. He's a really good family man. And like really doing that over the first number of years, like so then when we're dealing with a crisis moment or maybe a tough conversation, you know, whether it's with like the roster or staff or something along those lines, it just makes it a lot easier. So we've had so many reps over the first, you know, three seasons that when it gets to the point of, you know, largely managing the roster and figuring out how we're going to change our identity given the major injuries, you know, we had enough practice where we kind of knew how to do it.
Kind of going off that, you mentioned staff. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, you guys came to a resolution, but I'm sure you guys have made a lot of moves, mm-hmm. Especially on the offensive staff. What are those conversations? I mean, I'm sure you're not going to give details, but just how much negotiation, I guess, lack of a better term, maybe, are there when you're discussing that?
Yeah, we don't really. So we talk about staff just like we talk about players all the time. Mm-hmm. We really do view it as like a partnership. It really is almost like a marriage. So I don't think maybe negotiation is the right way to characterize it. Like at the end of the day, we're trying to problem solve and find out and make the decisions that put the team in the best place to be competitive in the short and long term. So like I think every conversation starts from there and starts from a place where we don't have to question whether or not the other person has either individually like the other person's best interest in mind or the team's best interest in mind, mm-hmm. and that makes those more challenging conversations easier.
Is your trade deadline proposal going to pass?
I hope so, but if I had to make a prediction today, I think what will happen is there will be more appetite to move it back 1 week as opposed to two.
Pittsburgh again.
But I would if it moves at all, I would be pretty happy. Don't print that till after the vote, though. I don't want them to think that till after the vote.
A source told me you were extremely passionate about this, and that source was Kevin Stefanski. So
it is. I told in the general manager's head coaching meeting, there was an exchange where I couldn't hold my tongue because I felt like someone was characterizing it in an inaccurate way. I'm trying to get better at that as I get older, but they're just sometimes I can't hold my tongue. So.
Have you ever spoken in that format before?
Yeah. Is this a first? Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a problem stating my opinion, as you guys can probably imagine.
I still don't understand what the pushback is. I mean, if you look at it, it makes sense what the proposal is.
It should help the good teams and the bad teams.
You know, it does. I think there are probably two competing aspects at play. I think it like feels more aggressive than it actually is. So people are just scared of this like football apocalypse where everybody's like trading away their best players and like you have this haves and have nots. And I think the second element is that you do have a number of franchises that are just maybe a little bit more resistant to change.
When we talked at the combine, you talked about changing perspective a little bit. The coaching changes, especially on the offensive side, bringing in new perspectives. What are the challenges of that, though? I guess, like in this, as you bring in new coaches and you and Kevin are working in tandem to build this offense, like bringing in so many new perspectives.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's probably twofold, Kelsey. I think one, you're building new relationships, just both personal relationships and working relationships, and then two. Jim Schwartz always says this, just because you can do a lot of things, like, should you? Because you want healthy brainstorming, idea exchange, you want broad perspectives, but it does come a time where you do have to, like, funnel it and narrow it and say, okay, this is what we're going to be philosophically. And look, that happens over the course of the spring, that happens over the course of training camp, but you don't want to be trying to do so many things that ultimately you do nothing well.
Just a couple more.
How much input did Ken have on Jameis in terms of kind of that, what kind of quarterback you wanted in that spot?
Yeah, so like we always take the input of our coaching staff when we make the decision. Doesn't mean that we'll just go a certain way. But one of the things I would say with Jameis is like style. Because I've heard this like narrative before. Like stylistically, he's actually pretty different from Deshaun. Like he's not like Deshaun. He's really a true dual threat quarterback. Jameis is really more of your traditional pocket guy. So I think this, and then really Tyler, he's really different than both. Like he really spans more in terms of his ability to create out of structure, and probably closer to Lamar than like your pure like dual threat passer. So we really do have like three different styles of quarterbacks in that room. In terms of like the vets, and we have taken the approach that you really just want the best players. Like it's up to your coaching staff, your coordinators to be able to adapt based on what your trigger man strengths are.
In terms of Nick, just for us to be able to help set expectations properly, because I think fans are thinking that he's just going to go bounding out there on September 6th or whatever the case may be and rush for 100 yards and be the Nick that everyone knows.
I hope that's the case. Yeah.
But are there expectations that, you know, that we can help set forth here on Nick?
Honestly, it's probably too early to really understand like what he's going to look like. He's doing truly doing a fantastic job with the rehab, and he should start to like, you know, load run like probably sometime this upcoming month.
What do you mean load run?
Like so, like right now he's strengthening his quad, he's doing like the rehab and everything, but it's not like he's gone out and done sprints, agility drills, you know, stuff like that.
But that's this month he will.
This month we expect that he will. Okay.
But you did add two running backs.
And yeah.
You have four.
So, I'm sorry?
Five running backs.
So I think usually we either have six or seven going into camp, Tony.
Three of them are like undrafted free agents or something.
I'm sorry?
Usually two or three of them are undrafted free agents, though. We went out and got two veterans.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that, to be honest with you. Like, Deontay, he really, I think, has a skill set that's probably pretty similar to how we used Kareem this past year. And then Naheem was honestly really more for his return value and his pass game skill set. So I wouldn't read too much into that.
In terms of, you know, just Nick for the season.
Yeah.
It seems to me like he might need a little time at the beginning of the season, and maybe we shouldn't be, like, acting like he's going to be.
Yeah, I think I think that, like, as we think about it, until we see him in the next couple months, I think the next, call it 3 months, will be pretty telling in terms of, like, his potential readiness for early in the season. We are going to be conservative in terms of, like, our approach in our assessment with building the roster, because he is coming off of a major knee injury. But I do have to give him a lot of credit. Like, he's done a really, really nice job. But I think we'll have a better sense. Don't hold me to it, but I think probably if you ask me that question around the draft, I may have a little bit more of a specific answer.
Yeah. We saw in a picture last week, the quote in your office about being willing to get fired and win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Something like, how long has that been there?
Either since year one or two, I've had the job, something like that.
Is that from Howie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a motto. I keep quotes, which are things that I read, people I've worked for, and also, like, my kids. I have a section that's just with my with my kids, and so there are a couple that stay on the board. That's one. Quasi has one, but Howie is he's a well of wisdom. I will say that. So my other, I'll share this with my other favorite Howie quote that I use with my staff now is, when I work for Howie, like, okay, like, here's what I think, here's, like, the plan and everything like that. And he goes, okay, good, that sounds great. Now, if you're any good, you'll get it done. And he goes, and I was like, all right, he's like, I kind of laughed, but, like, he was not joking. And because, like, he always tells a story that Andy Reid used to say that to him when he was the personnel director under Andy. So those are my two favorite Howie quotes.
And do you feel any urgency with that number one, with your first pick, to steer toward a certain position?
No. And part of it is, like, you can't dictate the draft at 54. So you have to be flexible. It's like, it's a little bit, like when we took Martin in, what was that, 22? Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone thought that we were going to take a corner. Mm-hmm. But, like, you just can't be so rigid or dogmatic. And I've told you guys this before, like, we don't think of the draft as need necessarily. We think about it as more like long-term investment in the roster. I think that's a perfect example of why.
I always speak in such glowing terms of Kevin's ability to call plays. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, I know he's not ready to make that decision yet, but will you have some input in that? I mean, do you not want him to give it up too early before he sees and you guys all see what he's really capable of doing?
I think, like, I view myself as more of a sounding board in that. Like, I trust his judgment in that regard. And I think that with the play calling process, like, Kevin has a self-deprecating sense of humor, but he'll always say, like, okay, if you know how to, like, read, you can be a play caller. I think the larger point there, or maybe he wouldn't say this, but I would say, being a play caller, like, the play calling process, it's not Sunday, or, like, the least amount of work is on Sunday. A lot of it is the planning that you do throughout the week, and the plan that you put together going into the game. There's certainly, like, a feel element. Like, I don't think anyone would dismiss that, but that's, like, really the tip of the iceberg, where it's really the process by which you get to your play sheet and how you organize it that really leads to success.
Yes. Come on, I'm trying again.
We got to wrap. This is the last one.
Just make it a good one. The process of international games, whether you guys get Brazil, London, or doing it all this year, what goes into that? You know, what is that process like?
Ask me that draft time, and I think I'll have a, hopefully, Peter, will I be able to answer that?
We better.
At that point? I really do actually want to give you a good answer to that. Yeah. We would love to be in one of those games. Like, we've made no secret about it. I don't want to do anything that messes up those chances.
Hour one in the books. That's GM Andrew Berry's State of the Team address post the first round of free agency, and live from the NFL owner meetings in Florida. Coming up in hour two, an exclusive one-on-one with Jerry Jeudy and Kelsey Russo, our staff writer. You'll also hear from Jordan Hicks. After the timeout, you will hear from new quarterback Jameis Winston. I'm Jason Gibbs, and you're listening to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio. We'll hear from Jerry Jeudy, his exclusive one-on-one interview with Kelsey Russo, coming up in just a few minutes. Also, we'll hear from new linebacker Jordan Hicks, but right now, time to hear from our new QB, one of our two new QBs in 2024, Jameis Winston's inaugural meeting with the Cleveland media. Have a listen.
Hi, Jameis. Just wondering, I think the question that's on a lot of Browns fans' minds and a lot of people's minds, what kind of person, in addition to the football player, what kind of person are the Browns getting? What kind of character? And perhaps maybe how have you changed over the past how many every year?
The person that this organization is getting is first and foremost a man of God and faith who is about increase. And in terms of changing over the course of the past few years, significantly, 4 years ago, I got married to the love of my life, my high school sweetheart. So not just being a man of God, but a husband and a father of two kids. So priorities change when you see and know that things are bigger than you. So I'm here to do what God called me to do. And that is to lead and advance his kingdom in any way, shape, or form. So that's the man that you're getting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next we'll go to Scott.
Hey, Jimmy, why did you like the idea of signing here?
Well, first, Scott, I can't really see your face. I'm a people person. I can see Mary, but first, Scott, the opportunity. And I'm a firm believer that nothing happens by coincidence. So when this opportunity came about, we locked in, and we communicated, we collaborated, and this just felt like a great fit for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we'll go to Cam.
Hey, Jameis. Just wondering, looking at Deshaun Watson's game and what you know of him, what excites you most about being able to back him up, and what do you think that you'll hopefully impart on him as you work with him and the team?
Well, just the most important thing, I believe, is the relationship between me and Deshaun is in a place where it will continue to grow and flourish. And I just admire him as a person and definitely as a football player. I look forward to allowing him to lean on me for anything that he needs, and also encouraging him and providing him with different resources that he probably hasn't gotten for people that have been in the same room as him, whether that's film studies, film tendencies, whether that's cooperating with the receiver room, cooperating with the running backs, just serving him and his team the best way that I can. Like I said earlier to Mary Kay, is that I'm a man of increase. I'm a man of faith in God. So I know it is not only a passion of mine to lead and to impact those around me, but I feel like it's a privilege. It's a privilege. When I'm provided with an opportunity, like I tend not to look ahead of me and tend to look behind me. I tend to focus on the now. So I'm so excited to work with this young man and allow him, help him be what he is capable of being, and that's being one of the best quarterbacks in this league.
Thank you.
All right, next we'll go to Tony.
Hi.
I'm not able to hear you real good, Tony.
Tony, you're breaking up.
Tony, I didn't know Cleveland had bad service, man. Where you got? We in some mountains? You out fishing on the lake? Not with this weather.
All right, we're gonna move on, Tony.
Tony's ice fishing.
All right, we'll go to Dan.
Hey, Jameis, welcome to Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Oh, there's
Yes, I got you, Tony.
Okay, well, I'll go.
All right, Dan.
You've mentioned helping Deshaun, and obviously I know you're a guy that wants to be a starting quarterback again. Absolutely. In this league, but since you left Tampa, how have you sort of learned to embrace, you know, being the backup and everything that goes into it and the importance of that role?
Well, the most important thing that I saw, Dan, and I continue to talk about it, is just the opportunity that we get as football players. We've been playing this sport, myself, since I've been 4 years old. So the experiences that I've been able to accumulate, the experiences that have taught me things for anyone's benefit, like just the wisdom that I have attained, whether it's strategic from a football side, or whether it's emotional, physical, from just a personable side. I think from the outside looking in, a lot of people view football players as these athletes who put themselves on the pedestal. But growing and experiencing the highs and lows and learning how to be content with every situation that I'm in has just created a different type of confidence and a different type of will, knowing that I can impact anybody, anywhere, despite the role that I may have. And Dan, man, I have played some incredible roles over the course of my 4 years in New Orleans, which I believe has equipped me for anything that this game, that this business has to give me.
And just on top, I did want to ask you, like, what do you think is the biggest thing you learned in those years in New Orleans?
Well, the biggest thing that I learned is no matter if it's being high or being low, but to remain content and present in the now and controlling what you can control.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, next we'll go to Ashley. Hey, Jameis, I just wanted to get into a little more you and Deshaun. Like, when did your paths first cross? And just talk a little bit about the relationship you guys maybe have already pre-established with you coming into this room.
Well, our paths first crossed back in 2014 when we played Clemson. And just from his success on then, I've always encouraged him, shot him Instagram messages every now and then about me being proud of him and continuing to persevere. And we just kind of stayed in contact in that way. The biggest thing about this relationship is, like, when not only is this going to be a credible relationship, because me and him have both had a lot of success throughout our football career, but it's going to be a relatable experience with us both being African-American quarterbacks out of the Deep South. Right, so I've experienced some of the certain things that he's experienced throughout his career, which allows him to be able to depend on me or to lean on me to different specific avenues that he might want to pursue or any questions that he might have. But one of the biggest things that I'm bringing to Deshaun is just really support and encouragement, because he has achieved so much, and that's why he is this organization's franchise quarterback. But as a lot of us know, like, we all make this ship go. So every role, the role that you guys play, the role that I play, the role that the radio guys play, the coaches play, we're all in this together. So the more that we can be focused on the same goal and mission, and right now every team's mission should be at the beginning of the year is to win football games and win the Super Bowl right now. So I think that is our main focus. And as long as we got that same eye-to-eye determination to go bring this city what it deserves, I know we're going to be great, and I know we're going to bun well.
And then sort of a follow-up on Dan's question, I guess, but reading about your time in New Orleans and the way, like, your teammates, it seemed like, really valued having you around and your personality and things like that. How important is that to you, to, like, be seen as a good teammate, have that kind of leadership role in a locker room when you're in it?
Well, when you are who you are every single day, it's easy to be that same person every single day. And I think a lot of people, they love people that are genuine. They love people that are of increase and optimistic. So I try to make sure that I'm focused on that space. I'm focused on how we can get better and how we can get better together. So I'm always looking for ways to enhance those around me, because I know that is what a leader encompasses.
All right, we'll take two more. Tony, I think you might be good now, so let's try it.
How's this?
There he is.
Hey, I wanted to ask a follow-up to the, well, actually asked about your relationship with Watson. But my other question would be, when the Browns, at which point were you aware the Browns were pursuing you in free agency? And was there conversation among you and Deshaun prior to signing?
There wasn't any conversation with me and Deshaun prior to signing, but there has been conversation with me and Deshaun since the signing. And during the free agency process, I mean, you talk to certain teams, you develop relationships, typically during the tampering period, 2 days before the new league year. So my agent, I have an incredible agent who was on top of the relationship and feedback with the Cleveland Browns since the combine time. So I'm thankful that I have people that are expertise at what they do. To speak on my behalf, that I'm able to communicate and know me well enough to be able to share that same vision with whoever wanted to pursue me. But like I said, like this opportunity really stood out because of, one, the great organization that it is, two, the incredible fan base and incredible people that that this city possesses, and three, just the opportunity to remain grateful and to build and influence others around me.
Thanks, man.
All right, and last one from Mary Kay.
Jameis, I just want to follow up a little bit on the support system that you can be for Deshaun. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that, you know, he's gone, you know, what he has gone through mm-hmm. off the field, and you have had some similar situations, or I don't know if similar is the right word, but you have had some off-the-field issues as well. How do you think that might help you in terms of helping him navigate, walking through how to deal with some of this stuff as he moves forward and becomes even a larger part of this team and this community?
Yes, throughout everyone's life, they are given certain circumstances, conditions, and facts. But just because you are presented with those things doesn't mean that those things have to define you. So the resilience and perseverance that Deshaun already possesses, I believe that we're all going to be able to build and move forward through being the best person that we possibly can be, whether that's on the field and off the field. And I just know that some of the things that we all go through is necessary. It's necessary for our individual growth. It's necessary for us to learn so we can be able to apply a better way. Like I said, being a father of a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, you see them learning how to walk. I think the walking process is one of the most amazing processes, because people think that, like, you just get up and you just start walking, but you have to fall down and you have to learn how to get your balance. You have to learn how to continue to grow and grow till you can walk with authority and walk with your head up high and experience the amazing things that life has to offer.
That's new quarterback Jameis Winston. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, an exclusive one-on-one interview. Kelsey Russo, our staff writer, sitting down with new wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. The only one-on-one interview Jeudy has done since he's become a Cleveland Brown. You'll hear it next on 850. ESPN Cleveland.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Know it. Okay, we're going to start over. We're going to start that whole thing over, the live read, because I forgot how to read. I'm Jason Gibbs here at the Cross Country Mortgage Campus Studios. Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join Next Gen STM, presented by Ticketmaster, the official waitlist of your Cleveland Browns. Being a Next Gen STM is the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM and reserve your spot today. All I need to do is buy a vowel. While I do that, check out Jerry Jeudy, his first and only one-on-one interview since becoming a Cleveland Brown, with news staff writer Kelsey Russo.
Jerry, welcome to Cleveland. I'm really excited to have you all here. I just kind of wanted to get to know you a little bit and everything. So stepping into the facility today, what has it been like to officially be here with the Browns and get to meet AB and Kevin and everybody with the Browns?
It's been exciting, you know, just being able to be here, you know, new atmosphere, be around the coaches and the coaching staff and all that. It's been exciting. They bringing me in like family, and I'm excited to see what the future holds.
When did you first hear that Cleveland was a possibility for you to come to, and what were those emotions like in that moment?
I actually heard about Cleveland like two years ago. I heard they've been trying to get me for a while now, but to be here, you know, it's a surreal moment. So I feel like I'm wanted here. So it's gonna be exciting.
How special is that to feel wanted by a team, especially and then when you get that chance to be here and meet those people that had tried to get you here?
Yeah, you know, as a player, you all want to be a place that you want to feel welcomed. You want to make it feel like home and want to be wanted. So, you know, having that feeling, you know, is great.
When you look at this Browns receiving core, you know, you have Amari, you have Elijah. Yeah. What do you think you can bring to this group to complement them and the Browns offense?
You know, we got a great receiver, like you said, Mark Cooper, Elijah Moore, guys that know how to get open. And I feel like I could bring the same thing to the table, get open, create separation, and make plays after the catch. And I feel like we got a great set of receiver core that could bring all that to the table, actually.
And looking at what Deshaun brings, you know, from a quarterback standpoint, at Denver you went through a bunch of different quarterbacks, yeah. But what do you think, or how do you think your skill set can fit with Deshaun? And just the way that you two can complement one another as well.
I think we can complement each other real well. You know, Deshaun, a smart, accurate quarterback that know where to put the ball for receivers to make plays. And it's going to be exciting. I've been watching Deshaun since he was at Clemson. So watching him play and being able to play with him, so it's going to be exciting.
Have you heard from any of the guys on the team after, I guess, this came out that you were coming here?
Yeah, I heard from a few guys, Amari, Elijah, Deshaun, Chubb, yeah.
What did that mean to hear from Amari? Because obviously you both went to Bama, and just who he is as a wide receiver, what did it mean to hear from him?
Yeah, it means a lot, you know. Over my time at Bama, I got a chance to catch up with Amari, you know, and become close friends with him, you know. So, I mean, that's a guy that I've been modeling my game after for a long time and been watching him since I was a youngin. So being able to play alongside him is going to be exciting.
Has that sunk in yet? Is that like kind of surreal? Like you grew up watching him and now you're in the same receiving core as him?
And I'll be having my moments, like, you know, I'd be like, damn, I'm about to play with Coop, because, you know, I've been watching him for so long. Like, I don't think I understand how much time, like how many highlights I've been putting in, how many hours I've been putting in watching him. So being able to just be in the same locker room and learn from him is going to be exciting.
What are you most looking forward to about, you know, this chapter of your NFL career in Cleveland?
I just want this chapter to be, you know, better than before, you know, so a great opportunity here to be part of a winning program, of course, to bring a Super Bowl here, so I'm just excited to be here.
Seeing what the Browns were able to do last year, you know, win 11 games, make it the playoffs, et cetera, like what excites you just about where this team can go this coming season?
That's just a testament to all the great guys that we got on this staff and coaches. So, you know, it's going to be exciting just to be able to be here with those guys and just be the best version of myself to help the team be the best version of ourselves.
When you look at your time in Denver, those 4 years, what do you take from that time that you, as you grew, that you want to bring here with you to Cleveland?
Really just being the best version of myself, really. It's been tough a few years at Denver, but, you know, it's just good to have a fresh start here, you know, and just being here, so I'm just excited to see what happens. Yeah.
I've also heard about your TikTok.
What?
How did you get into that?
Actually got into TikTok because I had to post something for my draft day. So I just started posting some stuff on TikTok. I post a lot of football videos.
Now that you're here in Cleveland, what do you want Browns fans to know about you?
I love the game of football, and I just want to be the best version of myself being here and do whatever I need to do to bring Cleveland a Super Bowl. So I'm going to do my best to try to impact the community the best I can, because I remember when I was, you know, down bad, when I was younger, you know, there's a lot of stuff that people did in the community that helped us, me and my family, out for the long run. So I want to just be able to give back to the community and be able to do that for others.
Really excited to welcome you here to Cleveland. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you for having me.
That's Jerry Judy with our own Kelsey Russo. Welcome to Cleveland, Jerry. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, veteran linebacker Jordan Hicks, new addition to that Browns defense. We hear from him in his introductory press conference. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, Jason Gibbs back here with you. A special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus here in Berea. Time to hear from a newcomer on the defensive side of the football. Not a lot of changes. We brought back a lot of guys, but a few changes in that linebacker room. And the big one, Jordan Hicks, who comes to the Browns from the Minnesota Vikings. And before that was with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, boy, a guy that I think is going to fit in quite nicely here with Jim Schwartz and company. Have a listen.
So what was attractive about signing with the Browns?
Yeah. First and foremost, what the defense and this team was able to do last year, and the historic nature of that. I know guys like Rodney McLeod. I know guys like Dalvin Tomlinson, Za'Darius, have followed their careers and obviously got to play with them personally. And, you know, just watching them, talking to them, obviously is a huge part of free agency and just understanding, you know, different situations. And then ultimately, you know, you look at Jim Schwartz and the ability to get back to playing with him, you know, having success with him in Philly, and then watching his success here, you know, I think with the opening, you know, a linebacker and the talent that this group has and this organization has, I think it's a recipe for something special.
Thanks.
All right, next we'll go to Mary Kay.
Oh, hi, Jordan. We just got word, or some of us just reported, that Devin Bush has signed with the Browns. So just wondering, have you gotten a chance to kind of talk to him a little bit today, get excited? And, you know, what do you guys think that now you're going to have with you, Devin, and JOK?
Okay, well, I have not gotten to talk to him wasn't 100% aware of that. So, you know, obviously, if that's the case, that's exciting news. But you look at JOK and his natural ability. I mean, he's all over the field. I've watched him for years now, got a ton of respect for his game. And obviously have played against and competed against, Devin Bush multiple times. So got a lot of respect for those guys, excited, you know, to get in the room and get back established, get back to playing football, because, you know, that's what we do this for.
How dynamic do you think that linebacking core can be with you three guys in there leading the way?
Yeah, extremely, extremely. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into it, obviously. You know, you got to earn it day in and day out. But I think, you know, if a group like that wants it bad enough, you can be as good as you want.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next we'll go to Dan.
Hey, Jordan, welcome to Cleveland. A little more on Jim Schwartz. What was it about playing for him again? And what did you love about playing for him in Philly?
Yeah, obviously we had the success, you know, through our run there. But one thing about Jim and his defense is it's concise. You know your role, and you know how offenses are going to attack you. I just mentioned earlier that one of, you know, when I look back on my career and I look back at the times and the years that I played as clear-minded as I ever have, it was with him. It was those years with Coach Schwartz. And I think that's just, you know, due to the preparation that he brings, the understanding of the defense, the understanding of how offenses are going to try to scheme you up, and then just executing at a high level.
And then obviously, you know, you mentioned a guy like Rodney who was brought here in part for his leadership ability. I'm assuming that's something that you want to bring here too, and that's something that Jim wants you to bring as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of been my role since I was in Philly as a kind of more of a young guy, still took on that leadership role. But, you know, I don't force anything. I try to just be who I am. I try to be authentic. I try to be genuine. And, you know, I'm here to help. I'm here to aid in other people's maturation and grow all our, you know, all our IQs and our ability to play together. And, you know, I think that when you have 11 guys on a defense who are playing with that type of mindset to serve and to help each other, to grow, to excel, you know, I think that's what makes defense, you know, certain defenses special. So, again, I'm just here to be me, do my role, you know, and obviously fit in well with this team.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, next we'll go to Ashley.
Hey, Jordan, another question about Jim, because I know Rodney talked about this some last year, but, you know, knowing he would kind of, you know, stepped away from that D coordinator role, especially when he was going through his health issues, to see him come back last year and this defense perform as well as it did, like, were you surprised at all that Jim, like, had that kind of performance in him? And what does it mean to you just as a former player to see him have that kind of success again?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, it's awesome to see, right? Because you always follow the guys you played for. You know, you follow teammates, you follow teams, you follow defensive coordinators and coaches. So to see him come back and, you know, have the type of success that he has is not surprising, knowing who he is, knowing what he brings, energy wise, knowing what he brings, mentally to a team, to a culture, and understanding, you know, his part and how to build, a group of guys to, you know, achieve something special. So not surprising, but, you know, excited to be a part of it, excited to for another opportunity to, you know, play for him and have a shot. You know, that's what you play this game for. I'm going into year 10, right? I want to win. I played on teams that don't win, and it's not fun to play this game. So when you're on an organization that takes it as serious, you know, as the Browns do, and have an expectation of doing more than what is just acceptable. You know, that's what good teams do.
And I'm sure it's been a whirlwind for you, but since you mentioned some of the guys you played with in the past, I wanted to ask you specifically, you haven't played with JOK yet, but I wonder what you think about him so far, if you've had a chance to talk to him since he's the one coming back.
Yeah. Haven't talked to him yet. Very excited to, but I've seen his game, you know, over the years, just continue to excel. And you watch him, he's all over the place, right? You see a guy, you watch, you put on film and you say, who stands out, right? Obviously there's certain people on defense and he's one of them. Just his ability to understand, you know, how to attack the ball, how to go, how to just use his natural ability, his instincts, to find the ball, right? And obviously his speed and strength is out of the, you know, God-given, something you can't teach. So excited to get around. I'm excited to get around the entire group.
All right, next we'll go to Chris.
Hey, Jordan, I wanted to ask you about, you had an injury scare last year that you went through. Can you describe going through that and how that, you know, what that did for you, you know, perspective-wise and everything, just sort of, you know, as you get later into your career, you know, kind of give you a different outlook on getting to play this game?
Yeah, I mean, I've had my fair share of injuries throughout the years. you know, and have been able to bounce back. You know, last year I had compartment syndrome, which is can be very serious. I got emergency surgery basically to relieve the pressure in my shin. And when I woke up on the table, I was told by the doctor it was a good thing we cut it open because I could have lost my leg, right? At the worst. You know, and then from there, it's like, okay, you could have had muscle damage, you could have had nerve damage, you could have had a whole list of things on top of that. So everything went exactly, you know, the way you could ever hope for it, right? But, you know, being a veteran in this league and seeing a lot of injuries, it's the first time I've ever seen that one firsthand. And so, you know, things definitely get put into perspective. I've got 3 children. I got a wife, I got a family. Right. That, you know, if something would have gone south, right, you think about those thoughts of like, man, I never would have imagined. Right. And so count your blessings. You know, it puts things into perspective of how lucky you are every time you step out there on the field to be able to play the game that so many people love to watch and find enjoyment in, you know, and that we find enjoyment in. Right. We wouldn't be able to play this game if we didn't. So, yeah, definitely. But, you know, for me, there was a lot of opportunity to show the amount of grit and the amount of fight, you know, that I try to instill in my kids and my family through that injury, you know, and was able to get back. You know, I was up running around in a couple weeks and was able to get back on the field for the last 3 games of the season, even going through that. So a lot of learning, a lot of perspective, but you know, hopefully, you know, was able to navigate that the right way.
How much did your teammates sort of rally around you, you know, while you were going through it? And then, you know, when you came back?
Yeah, quite a bit, right? It was emotional. It was emotional for a lot of people. And so, you know, we had a great group of guys out there, really close in it. And so, you know, you lean on them. You lean on them when you can't be around the facility as much as you want to. You hear the stories of what's going on in the facility, what's going on around the building, it keeps you going.
Hey, thanks.
Absolutely.
All right, next we'll go to Spencer.
Hey, Jordan, welcome to Cleveland. I know we've talked a lot about Jim, and you mentioned following him after you left Philly. How much did you keep in touch with him, and did you ever envision yourself getting a chance to play for him again?
Yeah, I didn't. And we didn't keep in touch a ton. I saw him a couple times. Saw him in Tennessee when he was helping out over there. So never necessarily thought this day would come. You know, being 10 years in the NFL, it's hard to imagine what next year is going to look like, right? I've been, this is my 4th team now, and you never can predict what's going to happen. So you know, you keep everything open, and you know, when an opportunity like this presents itself, you can't say no.
And I know you had to sort of watch the Eagles Super Bowl run from the IR, but Jim last year talked about he compared the locker room here in Cleveland this past season to the locker room that year. Just what do you kind of remember, and what stands out about the culture in Philly that year? And do you get a sense that there's sort of similar vibes here in Cleveland?
Yeah, well, I definitely, you know, I've heard amazing things about the culture here. And just from my few hours in the building, you can tell it's something special. So, you know, it's hard to compare, right? With it being, I haven't met really any of the guys yet. But at the same time, you know, that culture within a building can propel you to win the type of games that a lot of people don't expect you to win, right? And that was the case for us in 17. You know, a lot of us were hurt, right? It wasn't just me. It was Carson Wentz, who was on an MVP run. It was, you know, Jason Peters and Darren Sproles and Chris Maragos. It was a whole list of guys who were impactful on that team. And, you know, the guys that stepped up believed in each other, right? And there was a culture that was built in that – it didn't matter who was on the sideline. It didn't matter who was on the field. You know, they were going to ride for each other. And so, yeah, that's how important culture is. And that's why, you know, that's why it's something that's a focal point.
Thank you, Jordan.
Yep. All right. And we'll go last one, Mary Kay.
Yes, Jordan, I was, you know, kind of looking over the roster a little bit, and you're one of at least four guys that I can see right now that are, you know, in that 30, 31-year-old age range. You've got Shelby Harris, Za'Darius Smith, Quentin Jefferson. You guys are all longtime savvy veterans. You all have kids. Is it nice to come to a team where that veteran experience is valued and you will have guys like that that you'll have plenty of in common with as well?
Absolutely. You know, it's, again, it's just speaks to the culture that they're, I think they're trying to build. And then also, you know, the fact that they're trying to compete right now, right? It's not always about looking ahead and always going younger, right? If it was that, that was the case, I wouldn't have a job right now, right? So appreciate that very much so. But at the same time, you know, it's a testament of what's being built here. And, you know, you've got to, I think there's a good blend. You got to have a good blend of veteran leadership along with young, young energy and young players that, you know, you can build this thing and help, you know, get this thing going in the right trajectory.
That's new Browns linebacker Jordan Hicks. As the boys like to say, so much more to come. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, a sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Griff, job well done. Kevin Arnold, appreciate your time. Shout out to AB for giving us a few minutes of his time. State of the team through the first week, first phase, I should say, of free agency from the NFL owners' meetings. You also heard from Jameis Winston, Kelsey Russo with an outstanding job sitting down with our new wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, and new Browns linebacker, Jordan Hicks. We are back with you tomorrow with another special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. The next level is next. Go Guardians. First pitch, 10:07. Get a nap, kids. It's going to be a long, long night with that and the NCAA tournament. I'm Jason Gibbs. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.